as ready as we can.
Yeah. Okay.
It's actually on.
Everybody ready?
Hello? Oh.
You don't control that. So do you want to go over that quick before we start? Would you like to tell them about the...
They know already.
Okay.
I will turn your mics on unless you feel really strongly about it.
All right, so we just go. I always had to wait for a scroll and music and this, like, amazing fanfare. All right, then we'll call the meeting to order with a quorum. Good afternoon, everyone. We have a quorum of the Metro Council at the January 10th, 2018 Metro Council meeting. And I will head right into public communication. If anyone wishes to testify on an item that is not on today's agenda, now would be the time to do so. Turn your card in to Ms. Varakzadian. Thank you. I'm assuming this is not on an agenda item, Skip? Okay, come on forward. Thanks. And you'll have 3 minutes.
Good afternoon. My name is Charles Ormsby. Birdsill CPONA. Most of my testimony this afternoon is for transit-dependent riders. And basically, we've got a lot of issues in Birdsill with respect to the city of Lake Oswego, about the only 2 points that have stayed stable in my lifetime are the front door of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission and the center pier of the Lake Oswego Railroad Bridge. You draw a line between those 2 points at roughly the same elevation. You've got about $600 million worth of projects in that area. I don't see the interface occurring to the level that needs to be done. My prime mission today is to get a letter from from Metro Council to the Lake Oswego City Council with regards to get standard TriMet 40-foot buses around through the intersection of State Street, a.k.a. Highway 43, I should say Highway 43, a.k.a. State Street in that jurisdiction, to the Lake Oswego Transit Center. I sent links to infographics. It's been going on since 1978, June, that I can testify, with a TriMet schedule. Lake Oswego owns that tax lot. It's not being facilitated to my satisfaction. I have other documents and movies of TriMet buses going through there. In fact, I pushed my sidekick. I usually had the drive here today because I'm on minus minutes to get back to my mother. She's age 104, approaching age 104.5 at the end of this month. But I pushed her from Toilet Boulevard South to North Shore. I was beating traffic. Highway 43 in that area is what I call congestion level cadaver 20. And essentially, you're not going to get emergency responses through there or out of there. How that's going to play out in the future, I don't know. But it needs to be addressed sooner rather than later. I have a lot of personal jokes about it. The other thing is I put a bunch of stuff on my blue card, also on my letter. I have a lot of problems with documents, historical documents. I'm after the 1995 Highway 43 draft plan, comprehensive plan for that. I forget the title of it. It's in bits and pieces around. I'd like to get my eyes on the whole document sooner rather than later. Again, capacity issues with the metro project that's evolving, the Oak Grove Lake Oswego Bridge, and interfaces with pedestrian traffic through that area. I'm willing to meet with any one of you anytime. I put too many. I think Mr. Bob Stacey found me walking around the Willamette Manor area rainy night about a year ago, so I'm familiar with that area and. Both ways. I don't know how to walk on the water yet. But we've got a lot of issues that need to be addressed in documentation. An archive plan for documents is critical. I'm going through it now on my own for stuff, and it's arduous to put it gently.
Thank you, Mr. Ormsby. What we can do is make sure that we send on your request for more information from Lake Oswego and to the Oregon Department of Transportation.
Well, the letters are there. They're linked in your document. I just need
that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Good day.
All right. We'll be moving on to our resolutions. Our first resolution today is number 194951 for the purpose of organizing the Metro Council and confirming committee members. Actually, I forgot to ask if there was anybody else in the audience that wanted to come forward at this time. Nope. Okay. Seeing no one. Back to the resolutions, number 194951. I will call on, oh, I guess I did it. I'm used to doing it, sorry. Thank you, though. The council will be recognizing in this resolution some key items, including the deputy council president as Sam Chase, as JPACT, membership, Shirley Craddock as chair, Craig Dirksen and Bob Stacey as members of JPACT, and MPAC, Christine Lewis, Councillor Gonzalez, and Councillor Chase, sorry. Those are some of the major ones, but I think there's probably over 100 different committees in that list and assignments, and we have iterated that several different times, and I'm hoping that everybody is good with that, and I can just call for a motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Do we have any conversation? All right. With that, we will call the roll.
Councillor Stacey.
Aye.
Councillor Craddock.
Aye.
Councillor Chase.
Aye.
Councillor Lewis.
Aye.
Councillor Dirksen.
Yes.
Councillor Gonzalez.
Yes.
Council President Peterson.
Aye. And it passes. Thank you so much. That was a fun first thing for me to work on, so thank you. next, we're on to our first ordinance of the afternoon. It's the first reading and public hearing of ordinance number 191429 for the purpose of annexing to the Metro District boundary approximately 20.8 acres located at 7331 Southwest Beckman Road in Wilsonville. We now move to a hearing on proposed ordinance number 191429 regarding a request by Palish Homes, Inc. to annex to the Metro District boundary approximately 20.8 acres located at 7331 Southwest Beckman Road in the city of Wilsonville. As part of a quasi-judicial hearing, I need to state the following. The members of the Metro Council here today are myself, Councillor Lynn Peterson, Councillors Shirley Craddock, Christine Lewis, Craig Dirksen, Juan Carlos Gonzalez, Sam Chase, and Bob Stacey. Because this is a quasi-judicial land use hearing, council members must declare a conflict of interest or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation. If a councillor has a conflict of interest, they are not allowed to participate in the council discussion or vote on that application. If the councillor has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record and it's subject to rebuttal. Discussions with Metro staff are not considered ex parte contacts. Councillors will be asked to declare any conflict of interest or any ex parte contact after the Metro attorney describes additional procedural requirements. Could we have comments by our attorney, acting attorney, Nathan Sykes?
Thank you, Council President Peterson and Council. For quasi-judicial hearings of this type, Oregon land use statutes require that I provide the following statement of certain required procedures. Under Section 3.09.070 of the Metro Code, this type of annexation into the Metro District boundary must be initiated by petition, which must be reviewed and acted on by the Council following a public hearing. The public testimony at this hearing should only address applicable approval criteria. The applicable approval criteria are set forth in Section 3.09.070 of the Metro Code and are more specifically identified in the staff report, which is part of the packet of materials before the Council. The decision of the Council is final. Although it can be challenged by filing a notice of intent to appeal with the Land Use Board of Appeals within 21 days of the final decision, if any person fails to raise an issue in person during the hearing or by letter or fails to provide sufficient evidence to allow the Council to respond to an issue, that issue may not be the basis for an appeal to LUBA. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to give the Council an opportunity to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in Circuit Court under ORS 197.796. The hearing procedures are as follows. First, Metro staff will present a short report. The staff report will describe the proposal, identify the applicable approval criteria, and summarize the staff recommendation. The applicant may then make a presentation in support of their application. Following the application's presentation, other persons in support of the application will be given the opportunity to speak. Opponents of the application, if any, will have the opportunity to speak. The applicant may then rebut testimony from opponents. Public testimony will be closed. After the record is closed to all parties, council members may then discuss and vote on the request. This hearing is part of the official record. In your testimony, please speak specifically about this application and how the criteria relate to the request. Please submit a copy of any testimony, and that will be maintained as a part of the record. Thank you. Back to Council President Peterson.
Thank you. The case being reviewed is Proposed Ordinance Number 19-1429 regarding a request by Palish Home, Inc. to annex to the Metro District boundary approximately 20.8 acres located at 1731 Southwest Beckman Road in the city of Wilsonville. Do any council members have ex parte contacts to disclose at this time?
No.
Okay. May I request a definition for ex parte contact?
Thank you. Yes. Actually, I'll turn that over to acting attorney.
It would be being contacted by one of the parties who's making the application. So have you been contacted or been speaking with any of the parties?
No.
Okay.
Do any council members have a conflict of interest to declare?
No.
No.
All right, seeing none, we can move on and have the staff presentation. Tim.
Good afternoon, Council President Peterson and Councilors. Tim O'Brien, Metro Planning Department staff. Before I address the ordinance before you, I would like to provide a little background on the Metro Jurisdictional Boundary Annexation Process for the new members of the Council. The Metro Boundary Annexation Process is mainly utilized for lands that were added to the UGB prior to 2009 and are now just being annexed to a city or a service district and being developed. For land that was added to the UGB after 2009, the metro boundary is amended as the UGB decision is made. The action before you today is really a housekeeping action that is required by Metro Code as part of the planning for areas added to the UGB. Inclusion in the metro jurisdictional boundary means the current and future residents of the territory can vote for the council, vote for bond measures. All of Metro's policies and codes are applicable to the land, and also Metro taxes are assessed to the land. The property owner submits an application to Metro. The council holds the required hearing, as we are going to do today. And once the council approves the annexation, staff files the annexation with the Department of Revenue and the Secretary of State. And then just note that we do collect a fee for processing the annexation. That does cover staff time for this. In the past 3 years, we've processed anywhere from 4 to 10 annexations per year, so you will see some more of these coming. And now I'll just go on to the annexation before you today. As you've heard, today is an annexation of the Metro District boundary for 20.8 acres in Wilsonville. The land is part of the Frog Pond area plan that Wilsonville completed consistent with Metro's Title 11 requirements for planning new urban areas. The land must be annexed to the Metro District boundary for urbanization to occur. The property has been annexed to the city of Wilsonville, and once all the annexations are complete, building may occur consistent with the approved plan. The criteria for annexation of land into the metro boundary are in Metro Code Section 3.09.070E. The criteria include, 1, that the affected territory is within the urban growth boundary. 2, the territory is subject to measures that prevent urbanization until the territory is annexed to a city or to service districts that will provide necessary urban services. And finally, 3, the proposed change is consistent with any applicable cooperative or urban service agreements adopted pursuant to ORS Chapter 195 and any concept plan. As outlined in the staff report, the application does meet the required criteria for annexation to the metro jurisdictional boundary. The land was included in the UGB in 2002. The city adopted the Frog Pond Area Plan in 2015 and the Frog Pond West Master Plan in 2017 in anticipation of annexation to the city. The land was annexed into the city in July of 2018. Thus, the area was subject to measures that prevented urbanization until the territory is annexed to the city or service district. Then finally, annexation of the land is consistent with Wilsonville's Frog Pond Area Master Plan and is required as part of a land use application. So therefore, staff does recommend approval of Ordinance 19-1429, and I'm certainly here to take any questions if you have any. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions for Kim Councillor Craddock?
Thank you. It's a clarification. I appreciate your summary or your of this history for the new councillors, because I learned something too. So any lands that were brought into the UGB after 2002 or after 2009, those lands are automatically annexed into the Metro Council boundary at that time, correct?
Councillor Craddock, that is correct, yes.
So lands that were brought into the UGB prior to that, we annex them one parcel at a time as they're ready for development. Annexed to the city,
Councillor Craddock, yes, as they are annexed to the city or to a service district in the case of North Bethany, which is in Washington County. We try to get them to annex more than one parcel at a time so we don't have to keep coming back to you, but it's hard to do that at times. But it will be a process of slowly annexing areas that were added to the UGB, mainly between 2002 and 2009.
So the clarification is, since I represent the east part of the region, the Springwater area was brought into the urban growth boundary in 2002 also. But it was already in the metro district boundary at that time, correct? So that's why we don't get these requests from the east side of the region as much. Is that
correct? Councillor Craddock. The metro district boundary was established actually a bit farther out than the urban growth boundary in the east side and through the south side. It was just mainly in the west side where it was not.
Okay.
Extended farther.
Thank you. Any other questions for Tim on this topic? All right. Then we will go into our formal public hearing on this. I'll gavel and open up a public hearing on this ordinance. If there's anyone here to testify on this, we do ask that you specify whether you are for or against this. Seeing that nobody is coming forward, shocked and appalled, we will close the public hearing.
Councillor, you're looking askance at me, but
no.
I don't mean to be overly sarcastic, but sitting through these is burdensome after 6 years.
So we'll close the public hearing and note that there is a second reading.
Boy.
For council consideration and vote that is scheduled on Thursday, January 17th. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. There is a consent agenda today. Today's consent agenda consists of four items: resolution number 18-4950, resolution number 19-4958, the minutes for the December 13th, 2018 council meeting, and the minutes for the December 18th, 2018 council meeting. I will call for a motion.
I move approval of the consent agenda.
Is there a second? There's a motion and a second. Will the clerk call the roll? Oh. Just a straight-up vote? All right, straight-up vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? The motion passes. Thank you. All right. I'm going to call on our COO, Martha Bennett, to bring us up to date.
Well, I have two things for you this afternoon. First, Happy New Year and happy first meeting to the 2019 Metro Council. I'm so glad that Tim stayed for this because this is the highlight of our year after annexations. Oh, now I'm being sarcastic. On your dais are two reports that the Metro Code requires us the Chief Operating Officer to provide to Metro Council every year. The first one is about amendments to the Title IV map, which is the map of the regionally significant employment lands that were designated by the Metro Council. And the other is the report on any minor adjustments that were made to the urban growth boundary, both in 2018. And you'll see in both reports that there were no adjustments to either the Title IV map, nor were there any minor adjustments to the UGB. So, and I'm required to give these to you in writing, so here we go. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Ted. Please pass on the good work. All right. The second thing I wanted to do today is we have a number of applications that are out today, and I wanted to make sure first that you're all aware of all the things that are out right now, but also if you have social media pages or on your own councillor homepages, it'd be great if you spread the word about these opportunities. The first one is that we are accepting artist applications for our Glean program, and I think many of you know that GLEAN is when we invite artists in to essentially dig through the trash at the transfer stations and figure out what kind of art they could make out of things that people choose to throw away. And one of our artists always that's selected is a young person, so we'll be a local art student. The application period for these positions is the month of January, so it closes on January 31st. And I think Councillor Dirksen, who got to serve on the selection panel last year, can tell you that it's pretty exciting to see not only what kind of ideas people have, but also what they do with the art. And I also think you know that we install some of the pieces of art here in the Metro Regional Center after the art it goes on for its show in August. And so if you have questions about why that piece of art down the hall, it's probably because it came through the GLEAN program. The second thing is that the Metro Regional Travel Options Program is in its next round of grants for groups seeking to encourage people to use ways to get around besides single-passenger automobiles in the region. That grant program is open until March 31st, and we take grant applications from nonprofits, colleges, universities, public school districts, and government agencies for the period of 2019 through 2022. I think many of you have worked with groups that have gotten the RTO grants in the past, and a lot of our travel demand agencies, our TMAs, have used that program in the past. And then last but not least, our 2019 cycle for the Community Placemaking Grants Program is also open. This is probably the most fun of the things I told you. I think GLEAN is fun, but this one is maybe the most fun because it's about community partnerships and nonprofits that come together to figure out what kind of improvements they can make to their physical environment to either make a community more welcoming or more vibrant or more exciting for other folks to visit. Applications for this program are due on February 4th, and we're hoping to get a lot of groups from throughout the region, not just the communities that have applied in the past for this. So I'll send you an email with all these in it. Hopefully you'll put it on your social media and your other web pages, and if you have questions about any of these programs, let me know. That's all I have today.
Nice. Anything else besides counselor communications? Any questions for Martha? All right, Councilor Communications, anybody wanting to share? Wow, nothing to share.
I have one item that I was planning to
Councilor Stacey?
Brief at work session, but I can do it now, Madam President. Yesterday was our most recent meeting of the Transit-Oriented Development Steering Committee. The committee reviews applications for financial assistance to build residential projects and mixed-use projects in high transit opportunity locations, often but not always light rail station areas. They're tied to Metro's, the investment that Metro makes from transit-oriented development eligible dollars, provided in part from our partner TriMet, are based upon estimates of how many transit rides will be generated by the development of residences close to the transit service. The program was adjusted in 2016 to recognize the fact that low-income households tend to rely more on transit for their transportation needs than other households, and therefore merit a slight boost in the estimated value of the ridership proximity to transit, and that means more funding for affordable housing units as a part of our transit-oriented development program. At our meeting yesterday, we acted to approve a schematic design for the Gresham Civic Southwest parcel. It's a Metro-owned property in the Gresham Civic neighborhood. Palindrome Communities will be building nearly 400 total residential units, 399. 160 of those units will be affordable to 60% of average median income households and below. And the concept includes some commercial development, including a brewery with instructional space for brewing classes that will be offered through Mounted Community College.
Did you say brewing classes?
This is what?
That's what I heard.
Okay.
Yeah. Brewing
I'm
classes.
I'm just noting that as well as the rest
brewing.
Of our social
it's
media.
You may have to test this product to make sure that it's
quality control and assurance that it's in conformance with our expectations for for that signature product of our region. Presentation by Community Partners for Affordable Housing, CPAW, which is a reliable and well-known affordable housing provider, for Red Rock Creek Commons, located in the Tiger Triangle. This would be along the future alignment of the Southwest Corridor Light Rail Project. Overall, 48 residential units, all of which would be affordable. 24 units will be affordable to 60% of median income and below, and 24 units will be available to those households earning 30% or below of median income. This is a partnership. The project includes a partnership with Lukedorf to provide services to residents with persistent mental illness. So there'll be a component of the residential population that will receive services related to mental health conditions. So very interesting projects in both cases, and showing the effect of our work to remind the Federal Transit Administration that low-income households generate more transit ridership and therefore justify our provision of them through TOD money.
That's awesome. Councillor Stacey, that's on top. I mean, that is separate and apart from the affordable housing bond measure. So these
Indeed.
Units are actually right. on top of those which we are planning to build.
But our staff is very attentive to the opportunity to combine and coordinate those investments going forward.
Awesome. Awesome.
Well done.
Councillor Gonzalez?
Nothing to share, except I am very excited to work with you all. Thank you.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you to staff for a great swearing-in ceremony event. You guys pulled it off, so thank you, Ina, and your team of thousands. No, just kidding. That made that happen. And thank you to staff for allowing us to have a light agenda on the first day for me to get back in the seat and remember how to do this. What a great team we've got. So thank you. Much appreciated. With that, are we adjourned?
We're adjourned.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. But we have a study session, right? Yeah. Maybe.